you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Welcome to Air Talks TV Talk from LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. Every Thursday, I'm joined on Air Talk by professional TV critics to review and discuss the newest cable TV, broadcast, and streaming series. With so much content available, we know it's hard to pick something to watch, and we're here to help. All right, let's meet this week's critics. Joining us to talk about Vanderpump as well as other momentous season and series ends are our critics joining us today from, I realize I don't have that page in my schedule, joining us Jen Chaney and Marcus Jones. Thank you both for joining us so much. Marcus, let's start with Vanderpump Rules, which might not one might not think of as necessarily perfectly aligning with the public radio audience, but this show has become a social media sensation. Why?
Right. So it's now in its 10th season. So it's shocking to hear that it's getting some of the best ratings that Bravo's ever gotten. And what ended up happening is that after a couple of episodes had already shown, news broke that one of the central couples, Tom Sandoval and Ariana Maddox, had a cheating scandal where Tom was secretly dating one of Ariana's best friends on the show, Raquel Leviss, whose ex-fiance is also on the show and a part of this friend group, behind her back for 7 months. And so the experience this season has really been seeing, what is it like, hindsight 2020, seeing how the signs of maybe why should they have known this was happening. And also just the finale shows the fallout of this news breaking, and now the reunions are happening, and the cast is getting to really confront Tom and Raquel over this scandal and sort of hiding this major secret instead of just them breaking up, which you would expect normal people to do.
Well, and so what have those reunion sessions been like? Have they been pretty intense?
They're probably the most heated that I've ever seen on the show. The feelings were raw. I think this broke in early March, and the reunion was around like March 23rd or something like that. And so they're maybe 2 weeks into it. And so they're right in the middle of the frenzy. And you're seeing that Raquel actually has a restraining order against one of the other cast members, Sheena Shea, who's been on the show the entire run, because apparently after Bravo has a talk show, Watch What Happens Live, they appeared on the show together. Apparently the news broke after their episode and Sheena shoved her, punched her, allegedly. And so in this episode that just aired last night, they literally have to be like 100 yards apart or something. And so you're hearing like Raquel's coming in, Sheena has to now go to her trailer. And so it is like kind of cathartic and raw. And now on the Peacock episodes, it's uncensored. So you hear the swearing as well. And so it is kind of one of the most fascinating things I've seen on unstructured reality TV in a long time.
We're talking about the reality series Vanderpump Rules, 10 seasons of the series. The 10th is wrapping. It's on Bravo as well as on Peacock, the streaming series. All episodes are out, or 17 are out now, I should say. The next one releases Wednesday of next week. Succession came to a close. In its fourth and final season, there were remarkable twists and turns. Jen, share with us your thoughts about how Succession wrapped up.
Well, after hearing about Vanderpump Rules, Succession sounds very demure.
Very tame, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I loved this last season of Succession, as I think most critics did. You know, I don't think it's a spoiler anymore at this point that earlier in the season, Logan Roy, the patriarch of this whole media empire family, dies very suddenly. And that opened the door to the siblings really jockeying in much more aggressive ways to lead the company forward. And, you know, I feel like a really good series finale is something that you could see how it was maybe going to wrap up this way, but it still feels like a surprise. And that was how I felt about the last episode of Succession. I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't caught up yet, but I just thought it was very satisfying and as always, just written with absolute precision by the writers.
Marcus, what did you think?
It does feed into that constant conversation of whether or not we're supposed to really feel for the Roy siblings, root for them, or kind of look at it from afar and sort of judge the sometimes pretty gross actions of these people who are running sort of this analog of like a really conservative news conglomerate. And so I found the ending very satisfying. I did sort of in the middle of the episode kind of see where it was going as far as this whole season's been about a merger and who may be CEO after the merger. And so I both felt for characters like Kendall, Shiv, Roman, but I also felt that it reached a kind of good conclusion. Like I thought it was a good episode. It wasn't my favorite episode mm-hmm. of the series, but I think it was about as successful as you can get with series finales, which are often so hard.
Yeah, they're hard, aren't they? Because you have people pulling at different things they want to accomplish in it, and as we've seen from so many great series, The Sopranos, and so many others, sometimes the landing is nailed, and other times it splits the audience in their response. We're talking about the fourth and final season of the Max streaming HBO series Succession. We're joined by Jen Chaney of Vulture, Marcus Jones of IndieWire, our critics talking with us about television. And now that many of these streaming series are wrapping up or network series are wrapping up, I'd like to hear from you which one you thought was a particular surprise, one that you really, really appreciated. You can email us your pick for the series that maybe outperformed your expectations most, that was really a pleasant surprise to you, at atcomments@laist.com. That's atcomments@laist.com. Please include your location and your first name. You can also call in and share with us your pick for the series that really nailed it this year. And that's at 866-893-5722, 866-893-5722. Our third series up on our TV Talk segment is the Netflix streaming I Think You Should Leave, which is a sketch comedy series created by Tim Robinson and Zach Kanin. Jen, please tell us about this.
So this is, as you mentioned, a show from the brain, mostly of Tim Robinson. It's very, very brief. Like, each episode is 15 minutes, and it includes three or four short sketches. It really blew up online in seasons one and two. Even if you never watched it, you probably saw some of the memes and GIFs that were constantly being circulated on social media. And I think in season three, it is still very funny. It's not quite as strong as seasons two and one, but you really do have to be on the frequency of Tim Robinson's sense of humor, which really is very, very steeped in almost every sketch is somebody who's just completely defying every social norm that would normally be honored in a particular situation. Often it's in an office environment, but there is a lot of just people doing what they're not supposed to do. And it can be a little bit repetitive, but when it works, it's very, very funny.
And some of the outside sketches are done around Los Angeles, so you get to see the sights of the city, so to speak. Now, so does Tim appear in most of the sketches, but then there are different actors going in and out, or is it like a consistent ensemble that does the sketches?
Tim is pretty much the consistent person in every sketch, although I noticed, especially this season, that I could tell a sketch was written and like that would have been the Tim character because that person is behaving completely inappropriately, but they cast somebody else just to like mix it up a little bit. But Tim is really the kind of connecting thread throughout all of them. And, these sketches are just, they just c- go in directions you do not anticipate. I think my favorite of this season is one about paying it forward in a fast food line that is just, I actually was crying laughing at that. So like I said before, when it works, it's very, very funny, but it's not for everybody. A lot of people will watch this and be like, I don't get why this is funny.
Okay. All right. I Think You Should Leave, its third season, a sketch comedy series on Netflix. All six episodes are out. It's rated TVMA. The Amazon Prime Video series With Love, in its second season, a romantic comedy. Gloria Calderon-Kellett is the creator of the series. Marcus, what do you think of the second season of With Love?
I'm so happy to see it back. I think a lot of shows that are led by Latinos are kind of one and done, sadly. We've seen a lot of shows fall by the wayside. I believe Free Ridge on Netflix was one of the more recent ones. And so to see them back for season two, and especially in a time where it's so great for romantic comedies, we just had Exo Kitty, we're about to have Never Have I Ever. This one, Kellett coming from One Day at a Time and sort of the Norman Lear school of TV writing, really knows inclusive storytelling that's also just really funny, but then all of a sudden hits you with a wave of emotions. And Emerald Tubia and Mark Delicato are very fun, but it's also nice to see Kellett herself on the show, and more familiar faces like Constance Marie, who's on George Lopez's show for a long time. And so it really is one of those shows that you can watch with the whole family, warm your heart, but it's also just nice to see the representation. And each show is also, each episode centered around a holiday, but now, of course, there's only so many holidays, so they've expanded a little bit in season two. We're getting like a quinceañera episode, bachelor party. So more celebrations that bring people together, not just holidays.
That's great. With Love, Amazon Prime Video Season 2, romantic comedy, rated TV-14. And I do want to mention, in terms of Latino-themed comedies, last week our critics talked about Primo, which is streaming on Amazon's advertiser-supported platform, Freevee. I've had a chance now to watch four of the eight episodes. It's about a high school-age student being raised by his single mom in San Antonio, and her five brothers, the uncles of the young man, who are very funny, and they individually and collectively make appearances around the series. I don't know, Marcus, whether you've had a chance to see Primo, but I highly recommend it. I think it's very funny.
Yeah, I haven't hit it yet because I don't know how to get Freevee yet. I do have the screeners, I believe, but I'm so excited to watch it. I'm a fan of Shay and, of course, a fan of Mike Schur. And so to see them come together for a family comedy, it's been on my list forever.
And as one of our critics said last week, one of the things that is makes it feel all the more real is they're not really talking about ethnic identity throughout the series. They just are who they are, and it's rich with cultural flavor. But they're not explaining it to the audience; they're living it, and it's wonderful. It's on Freevee. You can access it through the Amazon Prime platform, or it has its own app as well to be able to watch it, but because it is free and advertiser supported. This is TV Talk from LAist 89.3. We'll be right back after this.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Hi, this is Larry Mantle, and you're listening to Air Talk's TV Talk, a weekly review of the newest cable TV, broadcast television, and streaming series. Let's get back to reviews. Jen Chaney of Vulture and Marcus Jones of IndieWire. I want to take a moment to thank our wonderful production team for Air Talk. They are the best in the business, and they're led by our senior producer, Matt D'Angelo-Antonio. Our engineer is Evelyn Bocanegra, and our wonderful producers are Lindsay Wright, Lucy Kopp, and Manny Valladares. We had help this week from Ashley Rush and Daniel Martinez. Our news apprentices are Stina Chang and Peyton Seda, and our intern is Divya Prakash. We thank all of you. You are just the best to work with. So thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. Diana Pasadena says, I think both series finales for Ted Lasso and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel were very, very satisfying. That's good to hear, and I want to hear from others. Oh, and I forgot to mention, also helping us, production Michael Goldsmith this week as well. Michael, thank you. And we have, let's see, Sharon in Mid-City emailed, Ted Lasso was one of the best shows ever, exactly what we all needed to temporarily escape these troubled times we're living in. I'm really going to miss it. That brings us to Ted Lasso for our critics to weigh in. Jen, what did you think of this third season that just concluded?
I feel like what I'm going to say is going to prompt more callers to call in or write into the show. You know, I really liked Ted Lasso in its first two seasons. And one of the things I liked most about the second season was that it was doing something a little bit more challenging and ambitious by showing the character Nate, who starts out as the kit man and moves up to being an assistant coach. But he really starts feeling disrespected by Ted. And he expresses that very you know, aggressively in the season finale and ultimately moves to another team to become the coach. So they set up this rivalry and this kind of heel turn for Nate. And then in season four, I felt like they backed away from it. I felt like they were trying to do too many things, juggling too many storylines. The run times got super inflated. And I felt like there was a real opportunity to do something in particular with that storyline. And it just didn't. I feel like the show ultimately was like a live, laugh, love sign that really didn't want to deal with the sort of tougher issues that it was trying to address.
And is Ted Lasso done at this point, or is it uncertain its future?
That is such a great question. I mean, it certainly ended like a series finale, and Jason Sudeikis, one of the co-creators and the star, has been implying it's the end, but he's also been implying that there may be spinoffs or some other future, but that hasn't been announced yet. So every time I write about it, I have to say, like, we think it was the finale, because I still really don't know for sure.
All right. We're talking about Ted Lasso on Apple TV Plus. All 12 episodes are out of the series, of course, co-created, starring Jason Sudeikis. Don in Palm Springs says, I think Abbott Elementary really nailed it this year. The series about a Black community relates to everyone. It breaks down a lot of barriers. I like the humor and the empathy in the show. Don, I couldn't agree more. I think Abbott Elementary is my favorite comedy series on television. First of all, the cast is phenomenal. The writing is terrific every week. The characters are just are beautifully drawn. And I just think it is such a well done series on every level. I'm with you about Abbott Elementary. I don't know, Jen or Marcus, whether you want to weigh in on Abbott or not.
I am a huge fan of Abbott Elementary. I agree with you and with Don. And I thought the season finale was excellent. In fact, I wrote a piece on it for Vulture because one of the things people were flipping out about online a little bit was this whole, you know, love, romantic interest thing going on between Janine and Gregory. And it felt like maybe they were going to start having a relationship, but then it kind of pulled that away a little bit. But I thought that was a really smart move, and it was really interesting, and it was very true to the characters and who they are. I agree. I love Abbott. I think it's terrific.
Yeah. All right. Marcus. Yeah,
and I think, oh yeah, I was just going to say, I think that move is smart because they're really in it for the long haul. Abbott Elementary, more than any comedy, is one that you can see running for 6 seasons, 10 seasons, et cetera. And I think it's because they've put together such an amazing ensemble. Yeah. Of course, Quinta, the creator, is doing a great job as Janine, but to see the exposure Janelle James has gotten.
Oh my gosh.
And Shirley Ralph and Tyler James Williams, who were sitcom vets, getting to return in such a huge way. I've so enjoyed it. And even the introduction to stars like Chris Perfetti. And so I think Abbott Elementary is such a treat.
And Janelle James is just, as I said on a previous program, I don't know whether we have had such an iconic, you know, character. It's going back to Ted Baxter, maybe, of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which is when she's on stage, she just, or on screen, she so takes over with just the funniest lines, the best delivery. She's, I mean, they're all huge talents, but Janelle James is something else.
For sure.
She is. Yeah, and I like the way that they're also kind of, as they're doing with all the characters, like showing different sides of her, because it would be easy for her just to constantly be a blowhard and be blowing off work and doing all the silly things she does. But they do show her having more of a serious side and having more of a sense of empathy, yeah. Especially in this most recent season. So I like the way they're deepening her as well.
Yeah, she brings a lot to that. Barry, fourth final season. Just Jen, quick thought on Barry.
This was another series on HBO that I just thought was terrific, and its final episodes and its finale were challenging. There was a time jump, actually multiple time jumps, but I really liked the way that it ended, and I really appreciated that Bill Hader, who co-created it and directed every episode this season, had such a vision for it, and he just really stuck with it, as bleak and also funny as it was.
All right. I want to thank you so much for joining us. That's Jen joining us from Vulture, talking about the films. Marcus Jones from IndieWire, thank you for being with us as well, our television critics this week on TV Talk here on LAist 89.3. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Air Talk's TV Talk from LAist 89.3. If you like what you heard, please subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.